엄마 발매지 마시리하여
accept that the atom is the cause of the universe. Such theories are advanced by unintelligent people. According to real intelligence, the real cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Lord. Dhammad Yasa Nidaha. He is the original cause of all creation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Savasha Prabhu Vadaha Savam Prabhupada. Krishna is the original cause. Savakarana Kananda. He is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of atoms, the material energy. Bhumi apo naro vayo kam no buddhi vacha ahankara ityambe vina prakriti astada. Bhagavad Gita 7.4. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and only those in ignorance try to find out other causes by opposing different theories. So here, Jagrat. Previously, Bhagavad, who fell from his path of the self-realization and God-realization, fell from the path of the spiritual life and become attached, neglected his duties on the spiritual platform while becoming attached to something on the material platform. And in this particular birth, so then he fell down, he became a deer, and then after becoming a deer, he became Jagrat. So he remembers all of those previous births. So, of course, what he doesn't want to do, what he doesn't want anyone else to do, is to attach himself to something which is elusive. Because that's how he felt then. He was attached to the spiritual reality, and then he became attached to something illusory, and that position causes one to be subject to the illusory energy known as Maya and all the dualities therein. So, Jagara does not want that others fall into that position. So you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita 7.27, that's it. Iti dresa smutina vandalomina bhavata sāva ujjīn samoham sagīna hī parandapā. That O Sāyam Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the fire. Of course, in this case, Arjuna is trying to conquer the illusory energy. Krishna says, all living entities are born into delusion, rewarded by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So Prabhupada mentions the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordinate to the Supreme Lord who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. So, our original position is that we are part of the absolute whole of the absolute truth. So our original connection, we're a part of that which actually exists, the reality of the absolute truth. In connection with that reality, we are also in the atmosphere of truth and reality. So if we're in a room full of lot, then we are in light. We say, there's a light, we become the darkness. So that's our original position. Then we separate from that connection. We see no connection between us and the absolute reality. Therefore, we come into delusion. That is common sense, makes sense. What is it that separates us is that instead of accepting the constitutional situation of our existence and of the absolute truth, we want to change it. That let the reality be something different, where I am literally the center of everything, as the and the world I create and the desires that I fulfill, that becomes the reality. So that desire and hate, that is the beginning of delusion. And that delusion is a world of duality, which means that everything, you can't touch the truth, you can't connect with the truth, because you think something is there, but it's not. So you think that Maya means that which is not. You think, oh, here is happiness, oh, but I'm finding pain. Here is pain, but there's blessing. Here is victory, but there is defeat. I see myself as a man in this world, meditating upon the opposite sex. Next thing, I'm taking birth as a female. So, nothing exists permanently, no truth exists permanently on the platform of duality, that's the point. That on the platform of reality, the truth exists permanently. But in this world, it's duality, which means every time you think something is real or exists, it just doesn't exist. It's something else. I thought it was this, but it's something completely different. And then I thought that was, maybe that is it. No, that's changed. So the very nature of our existence is like that. That in this material world, we cannot find that which is reality. Everything we think is something, then appears always something else. And that is the beginning of that being situated in that situation, is because we disconnect ourselves from the platform of the absolute truth. The essential envy is that we should be the absolute truth. Reality should resolve, as they say, the universe revolves around us. So that is the absolute platform. That everyone else should fit into my reality. Yet my absolute reality becomes everyone should. You see that when you get out the road in the car, you know. That I'm driving, everyone else should drive to accommodate me in my car. So, now, therefore, the question is, what is reality? What is not. Now, Srila Prabhupada says very clearly here in the purport that the absolute truth is Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna himself states that the absolute truth is himself. All the acharyas state that the absolute truth is Krishna. All the Vedas state that the absolute truth is Krishna. And yet, we cannot accommodate that. Therefore, you see, in this same seventh chapter, there's this nice verse by Ramanujacharya in verse 24. He says, My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form and your activities, and can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, that is, that desire and hate, the demons, and non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you, however expert such non-devotees may be, in discussing the Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. So once we're in the position of illusion, disconnected from the truth, from the absolute truth, then it's not possible to understand the absolute truth. We can't have it both ways, yes. I'm in delusion, disconnected from the absolute truth, and I will also be connected. They're connected, or not within the sun, or we're not in the sun. We're in darkness, or not that. So, even if they study the Vedas, even if so Brahma also says in the Bhagavad Gita in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, chapter 14, that one may speculate the millions and millions of years, study the different Vedic scriptures, and also one may also study, you know, all the different atoms within the universe and all of those different things, but one still cannot understand the absolute truth. So here, we see that Jagrat is pointing out that foolish philosophers who are in delusion, they're in the modes of passion and ignorance, sometimes even in sattva, but still tinged by passion and ignorance, they present different theories. So previously, we're hearing that basically from Earth, so many different transformations come. So you ask the question, is this a pot, a clay pot, or is it Earth? Here, we get the next level of understanding. Is everything created by the Earth, or no, it's actually created by atoms. Because in fact, what is the Earth? It's not really Earth. It's actually a combination of atoms. So therefore, let us not say that all the varieties in this world are coming from Earth, because Earth has another cause. So the cause must be atoms. So we come back to a further cause of that. But what we see with atoms, as the Prabhupada points out, that in the purport, it cannot be the cause either, because he says,
they do not explain how the atoms are made.
Yes, they do not explain how the atoms are made, but also, atoms themselves are not permanently existing. So, for instance, as mentioned, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Bhagavad Gita 7.4, earth, water, fire, air, ether, these are my different material, separated material energies. So, from ether or space, we get air, gradually there's a manifestation of subtle. So space, of course, is a combination of atoms. within space, very, very thinly spread out. From space, as the atoms change, you can get air and atmospheric conditions, oxygen, carbon monoxide, so many different things. From air, we can get fire, which is again, sometimes you see within the clouds, there is also electricity, so the combination of atoms then can produce, when they become more condensed, they can produce friction, which can produce fire. Fire produces water, so then the atomic combination again changes. And from Earth, as the atomic combination changes again, you get from water, you get Earth. So basically, if you look at the, what is Earth today, as it decomposes, enters into our atmosphere, and then becomes air, and goes to water, and goes to the Earth again. So, therefore you say, the original cause is atoms. But atoms themselves are not in a permanent, they are not in a permanent state. And also, we see that atoms are made up of protons, neutrons. So those different atoms, as the protons and neutrons connect to other atoms, and sometimes you lose a proton or gain an electron or something, it actually changes. It becomes something else, a different molecule, a different type of that atom. So these, and that atomic energy, if you look at atoms, if you look smaller in atoms, you see that what is a proton is some energy, a little bundle of energy, they call it. And the protons, a little bundle of energy. So when you get down to it, these atoms, actually there's another cause, and that is the energy which underlies the various atoms, and that energy is actually the cause of the atoms, because that energy transforms into a variety of different atoms and molecules and so many things. So you go down to the atomic level, and then you just see, there's nothing but energy. That one energy is creating, is the cause of a variety of different atoms. Therefore we see that we can't take atoms as the cause, because there's a cause before that, which is just energy, but not in the atomic form. That energy and the nature of energy is that it's always conserved. So that energy in the original state, which produces the material, atoms, etc., that is always conserved. So, and that energy is described in the Bhagavad Gita is the shadow potency of the actual reality or the spiritual energy. So, because the material energy is produced from spirit. Not that spirit is produced from matter. So in all circumstances, therefore we see that spirit is the cause of material energy. So therefore you get the shadow energy, the material energy, you say, that can't be the cause, because unless spirit is there, material energy is not produced. So then we get down to the actual cause is Brahman, or spirit. So now, therefore, Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, but before I go to that, there's this Nice verse in the second chapter of the Bay of Manila. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existence, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of God. So here, if we look at the material energy and we look at the spiritual energy, we see that the constant factor, the actual that which exists, is the spiritual energy, and that the material energy exists relative to the existence of the spiritual energy. So, like a person in a dream. A person in a dream, they dream of being a king on a mountain. Those things don't actually exist. One is just dreaming. What exists is a person lying in his bed sleeping. So one thing exists, the other thing exists in illusion relative to that which actually exists. So without the man lying in bed dreaming, there will be no dream. That illusory situation will be there. So it exists in relationship to something. There must be a man lying in his bed for one. Equal rights. Lying in his bed dreaming, and therefore the illusion can exist, resting upon that which is relative, rests upon that which actually is. So spirit is that which actually exists. How do we know spirit actually exists? Because it is permanent. Something cannot be said to exist. It appears and disappears. Then that's illusory. So all the great philosophers and scriptures describe that which actually exists must exist always. Past, present, and future. If it exists in past, present, and future, then it actually exists. It never disappears. It was never created by something else, and yet it disappears due to some other reason. It just always exists. The only thing that has that quality is spirit. There's nothing within the material creation that has that quality. Everything within the material creation, right down to the atoms, actually is impermanent, and even if we get down to the material energy, the material energy exists, it's illusory. The material energy is a covering of illusion, which can cover the spirit soul's understanding of that which is truth or reality. And that, as described in the scriptures, that material existence, that material energy, also eternally exists, but relative to the spirit soul. So the material energy exists relative to the spirit soul. And it is one of the, and it rests upon Brahman, like a cloud rests in the sky. So this so therefore we come to the point of understanding here. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada very kindly for us, he just presents that from atoms we shouldn't accept the atomic theory or any other previous theories. What we should accept is Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. So I'm just trying to bridge that gap, that jump. It appears that if we just presented that to the average audience, they say, well, how can you jump from that? I can present some of the other theories. How can you just jump to Krishna? So therefore, what Jhadra does and what we can look at just briefly here is that we can understand that the cause, that which exists, is the actual cause. So the cause of material existence is that there is something that actually exists eternally, and that is Brahman or spirit. That exists, and therefore that spirit, Brahman, is the source and cause of what we know as a material manifestation. It is not atoms. It is not earth. Now, then we may say, then I am Brahman. That is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am the spirit soul. I can understand that I am conscious, that Brahman's spirit is within me. Therefore, I am the absolute truth, and I am the cause of the material manifestation. In one sense, we are. In one sense, in a tiny sense, we are, but not fully. So Prabhupada quotes that verse 7:4. I'll just read there, that's verse 7:4. In that purport, Prabhupada says, this material world is a temporary manifestation of one of the energies of the Lord. All the activities of the material world are directed by these three Vishnu expansions of Lord Krishna. These Purusha avatars are incarnations, are called incarnations. Generally, one who does not know the science of God assumes that this material world is for the enjoyment of the living entities, and that the living entities are the Purushas. So there is an atheistic Sankhya philosophy which says that if matter rests upon spirit, and spirit is known as, therefore, the Purush, then literally we, the living entities, the Purushas, are the cause of the material manifestation. So that would be the next incomplete answer as to what is the cause. So our next jump would be, how do we get from there to understanding the Purushas? That's logical. Okay. So it says, generally one who does not know the science of God Krishna assumes that this material world is the enjoyment of the living entities, and that the living entities are the Purushas, the causes, controllers and enjoyers of the material world. According to Bhagavad Gita, this atheistic conclusion is false. In the verse under discussion, it is stated that Krishna is the original cause of the material manifestation. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this. The ingredients of the material manifestation are separated energies of the Lord. Even the Brahma Jyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalist, is a spiritual energy manifested in the spiritual sky. There are no spiritual diversities in the Brahma Jyoti as there are in the Vaikuntha Lokas, and the impersonalist accepts this Brahma Jyoti as the ultimate eternal goal. The Paramatma manifestation is also a temporary all-pervasive aspect of Sri Raksha Vishnu. The Paramatma manifestation is not eternal in the spiritual world. Therefore, the factual absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is a complete energetic person, and he possesses different separated internal energies. So we see that the absolute truth, which is complete knowledge, absolute knowledge, because it's absolute knowledge, it cannot be covered by illusion or ignorance. So the theory that the absolute truth is covered by ignorance is nonsensical. Therefore, only the atomic particle of Brahman can be covered by and controlled by the material energy, the illusory material energy, but the complete absolute truth cannot be covered by illusion because it is eternally eternal reality or eternally true. The absolute truth means that which exists in reality, in truth, eternally. If something exists in reality, in truth, eternally, then there's no ignorance there. As soon as there's ignorance there, then it doesn't exist in truth and reality eternally. So the very conception of the absolute truth is that it exists. If it exists, it's reality. If it's reality, it's truth. And it's there eternally. Therefore, there's no ignorance. You can't have it both ways. Right? But we see that, then I must be, you know, as stated in the scriptures say, the spirit soul, the individual soul, as Krishna says, you, all these kings, everyone here, your memories of time, you did not exist, nor now, the future, you always exist. And me, Krishna says, me also. He is the absolute truth, uncovered by ignorance, and we are little spirit souls that can be covered, and that is our eternal position. The Bhagavad Gita clearly states, as all the Vedic scriptures state, that we are eternally a part of the whole. Therefore, we can be covered by ignorance, but the absolute truth cannot. Therefore, and that absolute truth is known as Vishnu. The all-knowing, in the scriptures describe, the absolute truth has a localized form within the heart, and people all over the world pray to God, and they understand, God will hear me, He's in my heart, He's everywhere. The other day, I asked a 9-year-old boy, I said, I've lit the sacred fire, and I've done all the mudras, and asked the Lord to sit here and face, ask while we do our worship. And I said to him, so which way is the Lord facing? And he said, every direction. I said, that's right. I said, that's right. He's all pervading. He can sit and face everyone in that fire ceremonial. We see that so the Lord, although He's one, absolute truth. Absolute truth means one cause, one reality from which everything comes. Although He's one, He's situated in everyone's heart, in Vishnu form, every living entity, and within every atom. The very nature of an atom comes from its essential quality comes from the Paramatma. It is the Lord that gives the quality of everything. So, therefore, Vishnu, who is the three Vishnus, and they are described extensively in the Vedas, as the super soul of the entire material energy, Mahavishnu, who impregnates the entities into the spiritual, into the material energy, and by his glance, the material energy is agitated in the Mahatattva, with the 16 principal elements of creation is manifested. Then that same Vishnu appears within each and every universe. Just as this body cannot grow if spirit is not present within the body, the universe cannot expand into the universal cosmic body unless the Supreme Spirit is there within the universe. And He also exists within the heart of every living entity, within every atom, in its third incarnation of Shiva Salvation. Now, what Prabhupada also states in Bhagavad Gita 7.4 is that the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth is a partial manifestation of the Absolute Truth, in that the Sat feature can be realized, or the feature of eternal existence can be realized. In the Paramatma feature of Vishnu, we can realize the feature of Sat and Chit, or eternality and knowledge. And in the Bhava, the varieties of enjoyment and spiritual activity are manifested in the Ananda portion, where we realize the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity being part and parcel, the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the energy is always servant of the energetic, and being a servant of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, we enjoy transcendental bliss when the soul is, their senses are active, in connection with the reservoir of all bliss, Lord Sri Krishna, Sakshatananda. And therefore, even the Paramatma feature does not exist eternally in the spiritual world. So there's a quotation that over here, I was trying to find it last time, I couldn't find it, but it describes there, one of those verses, that when the living entity attains liberation, final liberation, the super soul, Vishnu, enters within Brahman, the spiritual sky, and then enters within his original form as the personality of Godhead. So, so what we can see that Vishnu, literally one Vishnu, accompanies us in every species we go into. And that particular Vishnu who accompanies us, although he's one, but he's within our body, his work is finished, and we go back to spiritual world. So where does he go? That's the question. I go back to spiritual world, so what have I done with this? We will see him in his original form as Krishna. In the spiritual world, and where we go. So therefore, Vishnu also has a cause, the ultimate cause of all spiritual and material manifestations. Prabhupada quotes that, Ahamsa Vasya Prabhupada, I am the cause of everything, all material and spiritual manifestations. Vishnu, Brahman, and the material energy, the living entities, everything is coming from Krishna. And so therefore, the ultimate cause of everything is Lord Sri Krishna. There is no need for Lord Vishnu to be within our, say, Vishnu within the spiritual world, because we actually interact with him face to face as the personality of Godhead. And therefore, the ultimate platform of reality is the personality of Godhead, who is the cause even of Vishnu and of the living entities, Brahman. The Brahman is literally the spiritual energy emanating from the personality of Godhead. So in this way, we see here that, now, we quoted at the beginning, I just quote one more verse. I quoted the verse how we get down into this platform of duality, and so by disconnecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Absolute Reality, and as long as we are disconnected with truth, reality, all our theories cannot ascertain the reality and the supreme cause of everything, which is Lord Sri Krishna. And he reserves the right not to be seen by such rascals. But in the Bhagavad Gita 7:28, Krishna says, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities and the delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So by engaging in devotional service, in pure devotional service, reconnecting with the Absolute Truth, then that Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, reveals the Absolute Truth to us, and thus we come back up and out of delusion and to the platform of the Absolute Truth. So that devotional process is the only process by which we can actually ascertain the Absolute Truth. Okay, any questions or comments? You've got a question, yeah?
Thank you, Mr. Castro. Actually, I have two questions, if you don't mind.
Two questions.
One is that aspect of existing as a supreme energy. Because you were differentiating the two levels of existence, the supreme, because of is the his existence is supreme, for that reason he is not under the influence of the energy, material energy, and the tiny energy is they are subject to be submitted under the influence of that energy. I was considering, is just because of the existence being a supreme, or because he has the illusion of being the controller of that energy that made him not be under the influence, because he also can, if he decides, can be under the influence of the illusory energy called Yogamaya?
Yeah, that's answered in the. So we get these verses again, 7:25, which I am never manifested with foolish and unintelligent, for then I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So we see that in this verse, Prabhupada quotes Queen Kunti's prayers, 1:8:19, that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. And also, the Ishupanishad Mantra 15 similarly states, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya, but Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that appeases my sin, your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. So, the. And then there's one more prayer by. Quoted in the same verse by Brahma. This is from 10:14:7. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. So basically, the Lord himself, by his own energy, his internal potency, Yogamaya, he can cover the eyes of the transcendentalists, that they cannot see past the Brahman as the cause of everything, the impersonal Brahman. But also that Yoga Maya has an aspect called Mahamaya, whereas the transformation of Brahman as a material energy also covers the living entity. So in that way, by the Lord's energies, internal or material, all classes of persons from the transcendentalist and the materialist are controlled by this personality of Godhead to remain in ignorance as long as they do not perform devotional service to the Lord and reconnect in their proper constitutional position. As long as we're not in that proper constitutional position as serving the Absolute Truth, then we must come under illusion and the Lord's internal potency performs that activity of keeping the divinities from being able to perceive the Absolute Truth. So we are controlled by the personality of Godhead. To remain in that deluded status, even the transcendentalists, as long as there's no devotional service. So
I think that is another part. It's addressing another thing. But my question was more related in the two differences that you presented in the beginning of the class about the being covered by the illusion, or the Krishna being the supreme, is not only the influence of illusion. When you mentioned about his existence as the being supreme, well, just trying to understand that point, because not just existence is enough for him in the supreme to be to give him that, to be exempt of the influence of the energy, illusory energy. Because he is the controller of that energy. It's not enough to be just eternally existing in a superlative position, because he has the possibility to control, to accept that he can be even under that influence because he is controlling.
Well, the very nature of the Absolute Truth is that it is the only existence. There's no other factor that can. There is not another factor. There's the Absolute Truth, which is the one total whole. The total of everything is the Absolute Truth, manifesting as Krishna. So there's no other something that's going to come along and affect or disturb the Absolute Truth, because that the Absolute Truth is the only thing in existence. And everything else is, you know, part of the Absolute Truth, reality. It's not like in Christianity we have the concept where, you know, Satan is fighting with God, as if there's God and there's some other powerful influences. But that means that they don't understand the concept of God. That God means He is the only thing that exists. There is no other entity fighting with Him, trying to cover Him, or can come to cover Him. So He exists in fullness, eternally. That's what we have concluded, that Spirit exists eternally, and therefore its reality and exists. And the Spirit exists in, because it eternally exists, it is the complete whole, everything, and always remains the complete full whole, always complete in full consciousness and knowledge. So that means all past, present and future is always understood, because knowledge is always full and complete. That is the nature of the Absolute Truth. It exists in full consciousness, absolute consciousness, knowing every aspect of itself, conscious of its complete absolute self, eternally. That is the very nature of the absolute truth. So the difficulty is when we don't understand God, thinking God is literally a partial creation. The very concept of God is that he's the absolute truth. When we think of a person, sometimes we impose a limited concept of a person on the absolute truth. But so therefore we have to understand that he's simultaneously a person and simultaneously the absolute truth. Because he is fully conscious, that means he's thinking. If someone is thinking and aware of themselves, it means they're a person. And if that supreme person, that absolute truth, expands different features which are non-different from him, so the absolute truth is so full that even he can expand himself fully, and he still remains the full absolute truth. And he can interact with those expansions eternally. So the absolute truth means it is complete, it is everything. There's no incompleteness. And that is its situation eternally. And all, even so complete that, as you say, he can expand in many individual living entities or many personal dimensions. And yet, he doesn't become depleted. He can interact with those expansions to expand his unlimited varieties of enjoyment. Ananda, that Ananda is also eternally an aspect of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is Satchitananda. He's not just conscious, he's enjoying, pleasure seeking, and experiences that unlimited pleasure on the spiritual platform. So the concept that there is some other for Krishna, the material energy, that's material for us, it's not material for him. Just like the sun creates shadows and darkness on the earth and night. But the sun doesn't, because it's creating shadows and darkness on the earth, it does not experience shadows and darkness itself, because it's not light.
That is the next question that I was trying to present into the mind. It's even based on that aspect of the observer, according his consciousness. You mentioned that the material energy has duality, it's reality, and at the same time it is knowledge. But reality in the sense that because it's Krishna's energy, it's always permanent there. The forms are changing, so that's the changing aspect, it's temporary. But it's of the observer, that aspect that is for my enjoyment of according to my consciousness, how I see that this is not real.
Yes, duality or delusion is for those who lose sight of the absolute truth. If we lose our connection with truth, then we exist in delusion. As soon as we add a touch with reality, means we're in delusion.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah,
but that delusion means that we have lost connection with the absolute truth, but the absolute truth never ever, the absolute truth has full consciousness of the absolute truth itself.
So we can say that it's only the observer, the divine entity, who is creating or giving up the possibility of that duality of the material energy, because
there's no duality, because Krishna himself says, if he was in duality, he wouldn't say I am the absolute truth, the cause of everything, and he eternally says that. So it's not as if, you know, in a thousand years he'll write another back in a year, and I thought it was the absolute truth, but now I'm just starting to doubt myself. He always says eternally, that's what says, the teaching of Gita is eternal. He says to him, I'm teaching you the same thing that I taught eternally to living entities. He says, I am the absolute truth. I will never forget that. You, Arjuna, or you know, the living entities, even the liberated persons, are dependent upon the absolute truth. They have to keep their connection. Even the liberated person has to keep their connection with the absolute truth to remain liberated. But above the liberated and fallible is the absolute truth, who never ever falls into delusion. He always sees himself as the one, the only thing that actually exists incomplete, that is him, Krishna. Therefore there's never any delusion. And that delusion can't come from anything else, because it is nothing else except the actual reality. It doesn't exist, that's called Maya.
Can we also say that the connection of the living entity with the Supreme is by nature also eternal? It's more like in nature it's eternal, but it's manifested and manifested according to the consciousness of the living entity.
Our relationship with the Supreme, the nature, yeah. Absolute Truth, we are eternally a part, an atomic part, or an atomic spirit soul, a little part of the Lord's spiritual energy. Okay? So we have that eternal position. So we may forget that, or we may remember it, but it doesn't change our position. So for instance, if we're sleeping and we're dreaming, oh, I am the king or the queen on top of the mountain, I'm the Lord of all I survey. We may forget that we're actually someone lying in bed. That dream doesn't change the reality that we're just laying in bed. Whether we, the reality doesn't change just because we would like it. You know, reality exists eternally. And if we like it to change, we can imagine it to be different. That is called Maya. But actually, it can never change because it's the reality. And reality exists eternally, otherwise it's not reality. So we are eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that position will never change. And therefore we see that in this world, every living entity either serves the Lord's material energy or it serves the Lord's spiritual energy, but everyone serves the Lord. There is no exception. There is not one living entity within the whole history of the universe that can say, I am either not serving God in any way, I'm not going to serve the material energy in one of these forms, or I'm not going to serve him on the spiritual platform in the spiritual. That doesn't exist. We serve the Lord either indirectly in illusion. We serve him with their eyes shut. I'm not serving you, but we actually are serving the sense of the body, which is the material energy. Or we serve him under the influence of the spiritual energy. But there's not one living entity existing which is not. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, even considering all the different extensions of the Lord all the way up to Balaram, everyone, including all the expansions of the Lord, all serve Krishna. There is no one who is the master except Krishna, and everyone else are his servants.
In that sense, we can say that devotional service is absolute, but in the ideal way, the ideal devotional service is when it's more in Krishna consciousness.
Devotional service?
Absolute.
Yeah. We can, when we take up devotional service, we can either be fully Krishna conscious or we can be partially Krishna conscious. But either way, we're connected with the absolute truth and we'll get the benefit. So just like if someone falls into the ocean and then someone picks them up out of the ocean and puts them on the deck of the boat. And initially they're rolling around on the deck or the sick bay, they're unconscious. They don't even know they've been saved. But they're just as safe as everyone else who's walking around on that boat. And gradually they wake up, oh, what happened? Oh, you fell in the water. That's okay. Oh, look, we've come to land. Even someone takes the gospel service and they don't quite realize they've been connected with the absolute truth, so they will get the benefit. But the thing is, if we come to the point of realizing that without doubt, then we won't be again subject to fall down. Well, see, that's what happened to Bharatas. That we had to be fixed up. One time someone quoted a verse from the Gita, I forget which one it was, where spirit souls, Prabhupada said, oh, you know that one? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. Oh, do you know it eternally? So the Bhagavad Gita 15:7, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. I think we can quote that verse. Do you know it eternally? Do we know it eternally? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of our life until the last breath we draw, and into the next destination of Krishna, do we know it that much? That's that Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, anywhere in between there, this is the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, we can, if we don't fix ourselves up without any doubt, and remove any trace of doubt. Yes, Krishna is God, logically, reasonably, shastrically, whatever. We have to be fixed up so that in this life we do not have to take another birth and come back because we've slipped away. But otherwise, anyone doing the devotional service is already saved. They may realize it to some degree, and some realize it fully. If we realize it fully, therefore, in this verse here, I'll just read you this one last verse again from the 7th chapter. That just to summarize, Krishna says that verse 7:18, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me I consider to be just like my own self, being engaged by devotional service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. So that is the nature of the soul. We cannot go one second without being in a constitutional position in contact with the Absolute Truth. And how do we do that? By devotional service. Such a devotee. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9:468, he says, the devotee is always in my heart, and I am always in the heart of the devotee. So for those who fix himself up in transcendental knowledge by hearing, and practicing them, they become so dear to the Lord because they're always thinking of him and serving him. And because they're always thinking of him and serving him, they become so dear that he's always thinking of and looking after them. That's his verse. The devotee is always in my heart, and I'm also always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. So it places one in a very protected position because you come, to develop that proper level of Krishna consciousness, one can become very dear to the Lord by that type of devotional service. And Krishna himself, make sure that devotee is never out of touch with him. So sometimes because of bad habit or what have you, the influence of material energy or preaching or what have you, Krishna makes sure, no, that devotee is so dear, I will not let him lose sight of me. So we're almost about to slip Krishna, no, I'm not going to lose you. So that Krishna consciousness is very valuable. Okay, Hare Krishna. Jaya.